You ready?
Yep. Welcome to Practical Rhyming Fathers, Father Brian, what? I think I got that all out there. Practical yep. Rambling Fathers.
Father and I'm Brian. Father Tay. Nice to meet you.
Well, well, well. Today we get back to Building a Non-Anxious Life. Bookie book.
Yep.
Leveling up with Jesus here in comes to freedom. And when it comes to mindfulness is the two topics we'll cover through this book. So, got a few different things to talk about when it comes to freedom in this way. First, it stems from a new relationship, a new identity.
Correct. Because when it comes to freedom, Dr. John DeLaney talks about how sometimes we view our identity in the things that we do, right? So the four areas of freedom are what? Well, we're seeking more freedom as from money, time, clutter and stuff, and boundaries. So often if we have a lot of debt, or if we have done anything sinful in our lives, we often assume that's our new identity now. And he's saying no. In order for us to really see past what we owe and what we're enslaved to, we must see the truth of the matter, which is we have to start with a new identity. I am not enslaved to these things. I am a child of God. I'm loved by God. God's given me these friends, right? I don't have to live in isolation. I can make the connection. I can choose to live in reality and saying, let's start again. I'm a beloved son. I'm a beloved daughter. And how do I live in that freedom?
And those would be things that we added in there. But he's going from a place of new choosing a new identity or believing in a new identity. Which is one of the last things we get to in the book. But
correct.
Anyways. So freedom. Freedom from money.
Yeah. So
what does it look like?
So the freedom from money says, you know, here's a little chart which I really appreciate. Because it says in the beginning, people get into debt because they can't afford things. Meaning like they can't, but they're buying other things that soon add up.
Yeah, so he takes a second to say, I'm a person that chooses to not owe anyone anything.
Correct.
And one of the reasons why this relates back into anxiety is because, in particularly, money in our society is our bodies know that at any moment our houses, our vehicles, our education from our student loans can't be really taken away, but mm-hmm. whatever. But that we are not free when it comes to our money. So somebody else owns what I've taken care of. That's an entirely different, if we want to go down that conspiracy theory road trip.
Stop.
Really? It's a fun one.
No.
Do you know the only person that makes money on a house is the bank?
Yes.
Contractors take out loans.
Yep.
We take out loans.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to pay for the upkeep from the bank.
I knew it. They're out to get our money.
They're out to get it. It's awesome. That's why you take it with you.
That's why you should leave it under your mattress.
It does look good under your mattress. Or a vehicle. You get to pay maintenance on a vehicle and then hand it back for lesser value than when you bought. Like, it's a genius. The man's out to get us. I love School of Rock. Anyways, side tangent over. Cool. So money. So just to picture this, I don't owe anyone anything. And then he has a few, like, you know, hard rules. And most of this comes from Dave Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
That we wouldn't ever borrow money again. I think Dave Ramsey goes so far as to say, get rid of credit cards so we don't live on credit, but we live on whatever. Example from my own life, I was looking at getting a vehicle, and then through everything, like the amount that I was going to pay and the percent of interest that they were going to give, it was going to be like a $50,000 vehicle or something. And with the interest rate they were giving me, over the duration of 6 years, I would have paid like $74,000 for a $50,000 car. And I'm like,
no.
Interest rates are just the worst. Anyways, side tangent again.
Sure. But yeah, so it's important for us to put things in perspective. So even if you're owed a lot of money, just the new identity, right? I'll never borrow money again. That's my problem. Right? What other things you could do, looking at Dave Ramsey's format and steps.
Yeah. And then currently review your debts. Write down your debts on a piece of paper. Sing your dollar owed for every person.
Yeah.
Family, student, personal, credit card, car loans, leases, whatever. Medical borrowers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dave Ramsey has solution baby steps method. Is with, yeah.
Yeah, so this is an important area is because if you're weighed down by what you owe, it's kind of hard to live a life of freedom. And it's very difficult to have and pray and have a relationship with God too as well. So that's money. Now we're going to move on to...
We're not done yet.
What?
Your body knows that you don't have a backup fund. Right? Yeah. One of the big things is like... He runs a stat like our generation, our millennial generation, couldn't take care of $1,000 emergency fund, which it's ridiculous how much tires are for vehicles. Anyways,
that's $1,000, yeah.
So easy $1,000, but like majority of our generation can't handle $1,000 emergency payout. It's a way to live, emergency cash fund is a way to live peacefully immediately to deal with life's curveballs, because the dishwasher will break and your son will sprain his foot, and then I will save and take care of my future self, and making that a priority. He would also say pay yourself first would be another way of living that. So if that made any sense, hopefully. So living in freedom to be indebted to no one except the Lord, and then be able to be able to give money away because you have the freedom because you don't owe anyone anything. Instead of paying off your vehicle, you can give that to a charity or your local church or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have a lot more freedom with your funds and support the things that you actually want to support versus the things that you're obligated to pay back because of money that we didn't have. So, anyways, all right.
For time.
Going on to time.
So a good thing.
Freedom of time.
So a good mindset is like you are a person who has the ability to choose, right? So if you want to choose freedom, then you can choose how you want to live your life, right? And to give like what you want. So time is probably the most precious thing we have for us. And it never, there's an expiration date for it. You can't get it back. Even as we talk, time's still ticking, right? And so, he proposes like saying, why don't we maximize our time? Like, look at your family's calendar. How are you spending, making that connection with your family? Do you spend enough time with your spouse? Do you spend enough time with your children? How do you allot each person for some quality one-on-one time, right? And also, to be honest, you do an inventory. How much time are you doom-scrolling on social media? How much time are you mindlessly looking at your computer, right? So do an inventory of how much time you use things and how much time you're wasting it, and then replace that time with social media with something more productive or something that you like to do in a hobby.
Just to tap into this time being an asset, my dad realized that when we were growing up, that time was one of the precious commodities that he had with us. So what he actually did for Christmas is he would give us like the 12 days of Christmas.
Nice.
And day one was a day with Dad. And these were like 12 things that my dad came up, but all of them like were like things that we got to do with Dad and we could use them like throughout the year. And then like day with Dad would be like, or like, you know, go to two movies. You know, you could do anything with that on those days. So my dad like gifted us days or time with him because that was a way of making it a Christmas gift, but also making meaningful connections and time with us. So, anyways,
that's awesome.
I think one of the things is particularly when it comes to time is. I know a lot of families are away every single weekend and they just can't wait for one weekend to be home in a given month or in a given whatever. So to be able to set priorities of like, what do I actually want my life to look like? And it is okay to say no. Do we get there? Oh, that's our last one that we talk about, boundaries. But even here, boundaries.
Yeah, if you don't have boundaries, you're going to lose time.
Boundaries with your time.
Yeah.
You know, we have some good buddies that once when it's an hour, we're done. Like, meeting, walking away after an hour, grabbing coffee, walking away after an hour. It's just great, you know. It's a good time. So, be prepared. Engaged and unhurried, being busy will no longer be the way I show the world how important I am. I will connect with somebody who will hold me accountable to keeping space open in my calendar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Time, and obviously time. Cut out time for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly is part of that, right? Decluttering our lives, making our lives a little bit more free to spend more time pursuing the holier things of life versus the monotonous stuff of life or the social media stuff of life.
Yeah. Talk about cluttering. That's the next topic. So I like how before each topic he's talking about, he always says, I'm a person who chooses freedom. Once more, just reiterating what our new identity is in Christ himself and the freedom that we choose, right? So one of the things that we often do that's not helpful is that if we're anxious, we think that by putting things that on task, on paper and stuff to remind us what we have to do, our workplace and our home gets very chaotic and cluttered. And so what this doctor is suggesting us is to take a look into a different way of saying, how do I clean this up and do little by little, right? So the first thing he says is, I'm a person who is worth living a non-anxious life. So number one, I'm a person who puts effort into relationships and not into objects, right? So for example, if you want your house to be clean, are you doing it with your children? Are you doing it with your spouse? Is this a family thing? I'm a person who does not evaluate myself based on what I do or do not own. Brand labels do not impress me or empower me. This is dealing with like this urge when you see an ad. I have to have this brand. I have to buy this toy. I have to have these things in order to be successful, right? They do not own you, nor do they enslave you. Each day I will do something to organize myself for at least 10 minutes. This might mean deleting photos or old text messages, paring down makeup or toiletries, or giving away junk in the garage. Once more, we're not letting these things own us. We're saying, okay, this thing has lived its usage, so now we're going to give it to someone else, or we're going to discard it. Same with clothes, right? I'll get rid of clothes that don't fit or that I don't wear. I'll regulate it, can donate it to Goodwill, and then throw away anything else that you don't need. But sometimes having a clean workplace area, a clean home, more simplistic way of life puts things in perspective. So now you can move around freely and saying, I'm not attached to these things, nor am I enslaved to these things. Because when you have less things, they take up less of your time, and you're not spending money on them to keep up with the Joneses, and so you can live life freely, going as you please. Mm-hmm.
You also pointed out, so cleaning up our environment, but also our digital clutter, subscriptions, unsubscribe from emails, desktop icons, different things like that. Decluttering brain, body, spirit, journaling on a regular basis to write down what you feel, your success, your challenges, fears, aspirations, to have an honest conversation outside your head with yourself. And over time, to use the journal to keep an inventory of your thoughts, especially the things you ruminate or obsess over. Lightning bolt. Write down the lightning bolt thoughts, the ones that tell you you're a terrible father or horrible memories or your future worries. Challenge them for accuracy, truth, and reality. One of the things that I love about his life is he had his 5-year-old tell him that he's a horrible dad and she doesn't love him, right? And he just goes, you know, in the moment, I could totally lose myself and, you know, be really anxious and, you know, stressed about that. But if I take a, you know, take a moment, she's five. She doesn't know if I'm a good father or not, and tomorrow she'll be fine, you know. So, like, to be able to live in that reality, be able to live in the freedom. Does a five-year-old really have any authority in my life to tell me that I'm horrible? No, not really.
Exactly.
She's just tired and needs to go to bed or whatever, right? So that... And I just love, he has so many good stories and life scenarios that he has gone through that it's just super powerful to say how he came through all of these different things in his own life. So anyways, one of the big things is challenging the thought patterns that we have towards ourselves. So to write them down and then to say, that's actually not true. So. All right. Lastly, in freedom, boundaries.
Yep. So, as a person with a new freedom, we want to be in deep, loving, and supportive relationships. And so, in order to have that, people need to respect us as we need to respect them. And so, the biggest area of respect is having your boundaries, right? It's okay to say no. So many of us, because I get that, right? We want to please people. We don't want to disappoint. So, we try to go to all these events. And so that our boundaries are like nothing now. And so we feel over-obligated. So this author talks about like how he's perpetually late for everything. You know, this author was spending so much money on things, but yet when people asked him to do things, he kept saying yes, even though he knew that his calendar was busted. There's no way he can keep up with this, right? And so the author is saying to us, it's important to set that up right away. Like, for example, if you're in a workplace, it's very gossipy. It's dangerous, there's a lot of backbiting, there's a lot of abuse going on. You should be strong enough to say, you know what, I don't want to work here anymore because it's no longer helpful for me or healthy for me. And so bring it up to the correct personnel or to find a different job, right? And you should feel free and you shouldn't feel guilty about doing so. The second one is, what do you need to do to keep yourself healthy and sane, right? So for example, just because your family calls you for help, sometimes you can't just drop everything and drive 4 hours to be with them, right? Sometimes you say, okay, I'll be there as soon as I can after you're done with work and doing things, right? And so once again, what should you do to help ensure of your peace and security and then help other people too as well? And then you should also ask yourselves, which people bring me peace? Which people help me come about?